Grab your Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to read one verse this evening. Use it as a springboard. We're going to use a lot of Bible, but not necessarily be turning to a lot of places this evening. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, the last verse of 2 Peter. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." That first phrase there says, "But grow in grace." Notice there's not a time limit to how long you should grow. Notice there's no regulation on how quickly you should grow. It just says, "Grow in grace." We all know about the growth process, that as soon as you stop growing, you start dying. And here in 2 Peter 3:18, that we are told, "But grow in grace." This evening, we're going to look at just that phrase right there, how to grow in grace. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask You now that You'd meet with us. Lord, we ask that You'd be with our pastor as he is in a different state, Lord, preaching this evening. We'd also ask that You would use him there as You've used him here these many times. Lord, this evening, Lord, it might be a different man behind this desk, but Lord, it's the same Bible. Lord, it's the same Holy Spirit. And this evening, we'd ask that You would use Your word, Lord, through me, the speaker, Lord, to the hearts of these Your people. Lord, that You would give us what we need this evening, Lord, to be closer to You, Lord, so we can do more for You. We ask all these things in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. But grow in grace. Statement number one, God wants us to grow. God wants you as an individual Christian to grow. Now, His church is growing. Christians around us are growing. We look at people around us and we recognize in some ways, it's a little bit more obvious than others, that people are at a different level of growth. But we are to all grow. God wants you as an individual to grow. If we're not careful, we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we go to Sunday school, we read our Bibles, and it just kind of becomes a routine. And we kind of fall in a rut, and we start to, well, I've heard this before, I already know this. We go through the habits of reading our Bible, we go through the habits of our prayer time and our church attendance. It becomes a routine, and before too long, we've become that arm that's been in a cast for 6 months, and it's lost 40% muscle mass. And it's there, we thought it was okay, but we turn around and realize, man, where's all the strength gone? How have I gotten to where I'm at now? I thought I was a little bit farther along than I was. God doesn't want false growth. What do we call false growth? We call it a tumor. You can get that tumor, that's growth, but that's not good growth. And if we're not careful, we're going to have a bunch of Christians walking around that are sticks with a bunch of tumors all over them. They've got the Bible reading tumor and the church attendance tumor, and they've got the appearance of growth. But there is no true growth. That growth is all on the outside. There is not what the Bible wants us to be, to grow in grace. When we look at the Bible, it is obvious that God wants us to grow. How do we know this? Well, what does He compare you to? Well, He talks about that He is the vine and we are the branches. We're a plant. What are plants supposed to do? They're supposed to grow. What happens to those plants that don't grow? What does the Bible tell us? He's going to fertilize it. He's going to go back and He's going to love on it. But after a while, what's He going to do? He's going to cut those branches off and He's going to throw them in the fire. And they're not going to be any good because they're not growing. He wants you as a Christian to grow. And He's going to do His part to help you grow. He's going to do what He can to help you to grow. That plant's supposed to germinate. It's supposed to sprout. It's supposed to grow the buds. And then it's supposed to reproduce. That plant is supposed to grow. And the part of that growth process is reproduction. What else does He compare you to? A sheep. A sheep. What would happen to that invalid, that lamb, after its birth if nothing happened? It just laid there. We would say that there's a problem. There's a birth defect. There's something obviously wrong with this lamb. What's it supposed to do? It's supposed to be born. It's supposed to be a baby lamb, then a young sheep, then a mature sheep, and it reproduces. It's supposed to go through the different growth processes as an animal. Bible compares a Christian life to a race. What's a runner do? A runner grows in his ability to run in that race, but he's always moving forward. I like to think the Christian life is a potluck dinner. or I'm sorry, as a, what do you call that, where you travel around from place to place to get different different dinners. You go to one house, you get the salad. Progressive dinner, that's the word. You go to one house, you get the salad. You go to the next house, you get the bread. You go to the next house, you get the main course. You go to the next house, you get the dessert. And if your brother won, you start all over again. Amen. And you end up back at the beginning, right? Amen. The Christian life. If you stay in one spot, you enjoy what's there. But if you never progress, you never grow, you never go to the next place, you miss out on that blessing. You stay where that salad's at, you're never going to get to the dessert.
Right.
You stay where the main course is at, you're never going to get to the next. There's got to be that growth. Maybe that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we find the Bible saying, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it." That's not the problem. The next phrase is where we run into the problem. "Neither yet now are ye able." You know, previously I understood why you couldn't handle some of the meatier things of the Christian life. But why not now? You might not be eating whole steak, but you should be able to handle a couple bites. There should be some growth. Why are we still stuck on the milk of the word? We ought to be able to get to some of that meat of the word. "Ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" God wants us to grow as Christians. It is obvious in His Word that God wants us to grow. Now, don't lose me. I'm going to start using the phrase growth in grace, and about halfway through, I'm going to explain to you what that phrase actually means. But why does God want us to grow in grace? When you look at it, what is the purpose of you and I growing as grace? I think the primary reason is so that way He can enjoy us more.
Amen.
You see, not everything in the Christian life is about us. We think it is sometimes. "Well, why don't I go soul winning?" "Well, it's not convenient for me." "Well, why don't I read my Bible?" "Well, I don't get anything out of it." "Why don't I pray?" "Well, it's not easy for me." But not everything in the Christian life is about me.
Sorry.
Maybe it's for Him. Why did God create us here? To have that relationship with us. He wants to enjoy you. Those of you that have had children, you've enjoyed every stage of that child. But you've also, in some times, looked forward to the next stage. And you've enjoyed when they've reached that. You don't want that child to be in his dirty diaper till he's 21 years old. You want that child. Now, you enjoy that cute, cuddly little baby where they're at. It's fun. About 2 years old, you're ready for them to start walking, start talking. You start ready for them to get a little bit older. You enjoy that preschool. You enjoy that high school, that middle school. I don't know anybody enjoys that. But there's parts of that you enjoy. And as they get older, you start to be able to enjoy that child more. You start to be able to communicate on an educated level with that child. You start to be able to have a little bit closer of a relationship, not just dealing with just a child. And I wonder if us as Christians, that's why God does not want us to grow in grace, so that way He can enjoy us more. We shouldn't just be baby Christians all the time. We ought to be taking that step as a Christian to grow. We can be so self-centered that we think that everything in the Christian life is for me and for my benefit. My prayer time, my Bible reading, my serving other Christians, my witnessing to the lost. Now, if we are the right type of Christian, will we benefit from those things? Yes, we will. I'm going to benefit from my prayer life if I'm being the right kind of Christian. I will benefit from being a soul winner, from serving folks, and from reading my Bible. But the number one, the main reason we are to grow in grace is so that way He can benefit us from our life. He died for us and redeemed us. We gladly and selfishly accepted His salvation. Why can we not joyfully and selflessly accept His calling on our life to serve Him by serving others? He wants us to grow. He did everything for us. He saved us. He redeemed us. And you will either serve someone who will take the best from you, or you will serve someone who wants the best for you. I've met many people, "Well, y'all Christians, you're just trapped. You're just forced to live in that cage of Christianity." And I look out and I see the cage of bondage that they're living in. We all serve somebody.
Right.
We're either going to serve God or we're going to serve mammon.
Amen.
We're either going to serve somebody who's going to take what they want from us and leave us behind, or we're going to serve a God who wants the best for us. And as Christians, we need to see and we need to learn to choose that route of growing in grace, of growing and doing what Christ wants us to do. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. What does it mean to grow in grace? We know what it takes to grow. It takes nutrients. For a plant, it takes some soil, it takes some sunlight, it takes some water. We need those things in our life. We need those nutrients to grow. So when Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse number 18, when he said grow in grace, does that mean that when I get saved, I'm to get more saved? Am I going to get more of salvation? When I get the Holy Spirit, when I get saved, I receive the Holy Spirit's power. Does me growing in grace mean I get more of the Holy Spirit? Does it mean that I get more knowledge of God's Word? Does it mean that I receive more peace in my life? Does it mean to grow in grace that I receive more joy? What does it mean to grow in grace? Does it mean for me as an individual to just sit and soak in everything that God has for me? Now, that might be part of the growth process, me getting things along the way. But growing in grace means this, that I am to take what I have received when I was in the time of need and give it to others in their time of need.
Amen.
What does the word grace mean? When you look at the word grace, it means what? Getting what I need when there's no way I could obtain what I need on my own. For by grace are ye saved through faith. I had no way of obtaining that grace on my own. Ephesians 2:8 tells me that I'm saved by grace through faith. I find that growing in grace, I am to not just accept those things that God has for me, but I grow. When I am in the time of need, I receive things, then I grow and give to others. And as I give to others what I've received in my time of need, I begin to grow.
Amen.
Grace is getting what I need when there's no way that I could obtain it. When we read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, what does the Bible tell us? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's times in our lives and there's situations we find ourselves in, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a need that we go to God and just something personal. There's no way, there's no human words that could help that problem. There's no human comfort that could mask the pain that I'm feeling. That's when I go to God and I get what I need from God. But have I grown? Now, I've received strength. I've received what I need, but the growth process has not yet taken place. When that plant accepts those nutrients that have fallen or that are in the ground, when that lamb or that human being accepts the nutrients, that growth process has not yet taken place. When does growth take place? When those nutrients are taken in and then gone out and used. You see, if you sit there and take in and take in and take in and take in, what happens? You end up bigger than you want to be. More calories in, less calories out, you got a problem. That's growth in grace. As a Christian, you become stale in the Christian life. You become an unhealthy Christian. When you start taking in and taking in and taking in and taking in and you just sit there and you never do anything. You're in church Sunday morning. You're in church Sunday night. You're in church Wednesday night. You read your Bible. You pray. You love people. But what are you doing with what you're getting? Are you using what you've received to help others in their time of need? You couldn't have received that salvation on your own. You could not have received that help on your own. Growth in grace does not mean that I get more of what God has for me as a Christian. Growth in grace means I take what God has given me and give to other people. Your growth in grace as a Christian is not earmarked by what you have been given, but by what you have distributed. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Your growth and grace as a Christian is not earmarked by what you have been given, but by what you have been distributed. That's great. You're in a good church. That's great. You've got some great devotional times, but what are you doing with that? Who are you helping? What good does it do for you as a Christian to walk around in a dark and a dying world with that knowledge of salvation but never use it? You're not growing. What good does it do for you to have the peace and the joy that comes from knowing God personally? That's great. But at some point, you're going to plateau in your life. Have you taken that and helped somebody else grow? You see, as a teacher in a Christian school for a few years, I thought I knew things. And I did. I knew a certain level. But did you know that by the time I got done teaching, I was not just a better teacher, but I was a better student? Right. I learned more. Why? I learned what I knew because I used it.
Right.
Growing up, you know, I tinkered with a little bit of this and tinkered with a little bit of that. Then you get to South Florida and say, hey, do you know anything about construction? I'm like, yeah, sure, I know a little bit. I found out I didn't know as much as I thought I did. But I was able to take what knowledge I did have, put that little knowledge to use, obtain more, and grow in my abilities as an individual in that area of life. You as a Christian are the same way. Your growth in grace as a Christian is not determined by what you've been given or what you've received, but by what you've distributed. In 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. What's that word minister mean? To serve. So as you have received, the same serve. And if you look at this here, it says, as the gift that you've received, okay, you might have something that you're not as good at. God's not asking you to worry about what you're not good at.
Right.
He's saying, take what you've been given. Use what you have. Use and grow and help somebody else with what you do have, and you'll learn later those other things that you may not be as good at. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of what? Of the manifold grace of God. Are you being a good steward of God's grace to you? We talk about a good steward of money. What is that? Somebody who has made an investment in something. They're trusting that person to use that money wisely, to not waste it or not to foolishly squander that. God has given you that grace, not just so you are his gift to mankind, but so that way you can take what he's given you and help other people around you. Has God falsely invested his grace in you? Now that's a strong statement, I get it. But is he reaping dividends from your life? Have you taken what you've received from him? Or are you sitting there saying, I'm not as good as brother so-and-so or Mrs. so-and-so. I can't do what they're doing. He's not asking you to do what they're doing. They're at a different level of growth in the Christian life. But you are at the level where he has given you something that you can use to help somebody.
Right.
It might be that little child on a Sunday morning that you might grab them by the hand and you teach them how to behave in church. That might be your level of growth. You might be to the level of being a faithful soul winner. You might be to the level of going on a visitation with pastor or with somebody else in the church to go see somebody who is dying and they need some help, and you're able to be there in that situation. But wherever you're at in your growth process, use what you've been given.
Right.
What did Paul say? Paul said that I am the chief of sinners. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What did Paul do? He in turn went from being the greatest sinner to being one of the greatest soul winners that the world has ever seen. How come is it that it's the good people that never do anything for God a lot of the times? When you look at a lot of those testimonies out of those great men of God, who are they? They're those individuals that came from the dregs of sin. Why is that? Because they realize what they've gotten from God and they're going to turn around and use it to help somebody else not end up where they came from. Why don't we as Christians who are safe in the fold, why don't we as Christians who have taken and have learned and have not ruined our lives, why aren't we as adamant about taking what we know and helping other people? Why does it take a Paul? Why doesn't it take somebody who's grown up in church since they were knee high to a grasshopper to go do the same thing? Now, I'm thankful for what Paul did, and I'm thankful for the Pauls in my life. But we don't need to wait until we ruin our life, God salvage and save us and rescue us and redeem us and make us usable before we can do something for him. Do something for God now. Paul would oftentimes, if you read his epistles that he writes, what he would start off with, grace and peace be unto you. He would close his letters with grace and peace be unto you. What was he saying? He was saying, I want you to get from me what I got from God. I want you to know that I'm about to give you something that helped me grow, and I want you to be able to grow, to be able to do for others what I'm doing for you and what God has done for me. He said, I want to grow in grace. Peter, the human penman of this passage here, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, who was Peter as an individual? If anybody knew about the grace of God, it was Peter. He went from sitting at the table with Jesus Christ to warming himself by the devil's fire. He went from cursing the name of Christ, quitting the ministry and saying that I'm going to go fishing, to just a few weeks later going and preaching Pentecost. Peter said, but grow in grace. What was he saying? He was saying, take what you've been given and use it to help other people. Jesus Christ, from a young age, what did he do? He spent his time going about from synagogue to synagogue doing his Father's will. What was he doing? He was teaching and preaching to the multitudes. He was teaching in those synagogues. He was taking who he was and what he had learned as the man's child, the Son of God, and he was distributing that. He spends his entire life growing, even though he was the Christ child. He still grew in grace.
Right.
Because he spent his entire life healing the sick. He spent his entire life going after the wild maniacs. He spent his life helping and healing the harlots. He spent his entire life going to a Nicodemus, going to a Zacchaeus, finding the disciples and teaching them and training them. He spent his entire life growing by helping others grow. So, we know what it means to grow in grace, but how can we grow in grace? Number one, how do I grow in grace? By walking as and speaking to people as Christ did. Look at Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. How do I grow in grace? By walking as Christ did and by speaking to people as Christ did. We spend all this time sitting in the church service learning about the Bible, obtaining the knowledge, when many large portions of the world don't even have a single page of this scripture. When many of our own countrymen that we come in contact with every day, they've probably not read very much of this book. We live in a very unchurched generation. We are spoiled. We have a lot that we have been given. But are we growing in grace? Are we taking what we've been giving and distributing it? Are we walking and speaking to people as Christ would, or are we in the flesh? Are we criticizing them for how bad they are instead of taking time to teach them to be how they should be? Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, those that are unsaved, those that are without the fold, those who might be saved but they're backslidden, redeeming the time, buying back that time. Let your speech be always with what? Grace. Seasoned with salt, tastes better. It takes that truth that is sometimes very unpalatable. Sometimes it is not. I'm not going to walk up to the door and say, hey, buddy, if you don't get saved right now, you're going to split hell wide open. Now, essentially, when I get done with them, I tell them that they're going to go to hell. But that speech is seasoned with salt. You see, when you and I go out in the world, we need to be wise as serpents so we can be harmless as doves. It's important that we walk in wisdom. We need to make sure that our lifestyle is already scrutinized by the world. They are watching you. They know how you should live. Your lost family members, your carnal family members, they know how you should be as a Christian. So that whether it's right or wrong, in your eyes they're on a pedestal and they are watching you. You need to walk in wisdom. You need to make sure that you're not only walking in wisdom, but your speech is always seasoned with grace. Even when you're having a bad day. Even when things are not going the way it should. And it's just as hard sometimes to do this with the Christians as it is with people in the world. Sometimes it's easier to be nicer to those people than it's their own family. You need to be seasoned with grace. Your speech ought to be filled with words that you have received from God that somebody else needs. You need to see where they are in their pain and in their hurt. That crude statement or that brash reaction to a circumstance may not call for a beating. And maybe not call for somebody to stand up and to start screaming and hollering uncontrolled. It might take some grace. It might take a little bit of God's word that you got from your devotions that morning to help them. Maybe that's why he gave it to you. You see, it's amazing that when you start looking in your Bible for something to help somebody else, what you learn in return. Why do I do my devotions in the morning? It's to help me grow. I need it just as much as anybody. But especially in my line of work, it's like walking out the front door as an EMT without your to-go bag. And you leave all your stuff that you need at home for work. That's a problem. That's a soldier walking out in the battlefield without his weapon. That's a problem. You're going to run into problems and you can't take care of business. As a Christian, I'm reading this word. I'm walking with God. Yes, so I can grow closer to him. But also as I go throughout my day, I'm thinking about what I learned. And I'm wondering, how can I help this person with what I've been given this morning? How can I grow in grace? Number one, by walking as and speaking to people as Christ did. Number two, let's look at the book of John, chapter 21. John chapter number 21, the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, in verse number 15. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Peter had a big mouth. He talked about how much he loved John. He's pointing to the disciples, said, you love me more than everybody else around here, all the Christians, all the preachers that you've been working with. You love me more than them? He says, I do. What's he saying to them? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my lambs. He says, take what you've been given, feed somebody else. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. We got a room full of Christians. We got a world full of Christians that profess to love God. And they truly do verbalize, and genuinely, I believe they do love God. But loving is more than just words. Loving is action. Love without action is nothing more than lust. We've got many Christians that lust what God can do for them, and they don't love God because they're not taking what God has already given them and loving somebody else with what God has given to them. How do I grow in grace? By loving others that as the same way that you've been loved. Look at your life. Where would you be without that mother who loved you? Look at your life. Where would you be without that pastor or that Sunday school teacher or that uncle or that friend? That somebody that when you think of love in your life and the first name they think of, think about how they loved you. Think about how God has loved you. How he has done what he has done for you. How much God's love for you is. Are you loving others the same way that they have loved you? Are you loving others the same way that God has loved you? What is the earmark of growth in grace? How I love people. I don't want to take the time to turn there, but when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, he talks about loving people. And he says, it's easy to love those that everybody else loves, but love your enemies. That's growth in grace. Giving to your enemy in their time of need what you know they need, because it's what you got when you needed it. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Are you loving them? Before we mark ourselves as growing in grace, as being a great Christian, we need to look at our lives. Do we love people? One of the biggest burdens recently, maybe because I was doing a lot of studying for the soul winning, but that soul winning seminar really shook my mind to make that song we were singing, Lead Me to Some Soul Today. I prayed that would not just be a song. It's amazing. We live in a technological age, a busy, fast-paced society, and we blow by people every day. We don't stop to think of who we're coming in contact with. And every day now for quite some time, I've asked, Lord, show me where I can love. Help me to love as you loved. Am I loving people the same exact way? John chapter 21, Peter says, Jesus said, lovest thou me? Jesus said, feed my sheep. Take what I've already given you and go love somebody else. That's how you'll prove your love to me. Growing in my love for God is not growing in my love for those whom... growing in my love for God is growing in my love for those whom God would love. Who would Jesus love when he were here? He loved everybody, but who did he spend most of his time with? The sinners, the publicans, those that were sick, those that were needy. Those are the folks that I need to love. I'm not loving you because of who I am. I'm loving you because of who he is and what he's done for me. If I'm loving people because of who he is, they will see Christ in me and be drawn closer to the Savior. And isn't it funny, as I love people, I do get closer to the Lord. Because I go out and I try to love somebody and I look at my humanity and I realize I failed today. I didn't love like I should. So you know what I do on Tuesday morning? I wake up and say, teach me how to love. And I go out on Wednesday and I love and I say, I failed. And I come back on Wednesday and I say, teach me how to love. And I go out on Thursday and I fail in my love and I come back. The more I try to love and the more I love, the more I show him my love and the closer to God I get. Amen. Am I growing in grace? How do I grow in grace? Number one, by walking and speaking to people as Christ did. Number two, by loving others as Christ has loved us. And lastly, number three, by forgiving others as you have been forgiven. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. How can I grow in grace? By forgiving others as you have been forgiven. Let all bitterness, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I want you to notice this last phrase. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Where are you in that process? You are the recipient. Christ is the one doing the... God forgives you because of what Christ did on Calvary. Right. He didn't forgive you because of who you were. He forgave you because of who his son was.
Yes, sir.
So if God is able to forgive you, an almighty, perfect God is able to forgive you because of who his son is, what is stopping you as an imperfect human from forgiving another imperfect human? What makes you better than that person? Why can't you forgive them? What would have happened if God would have said, well, I'm not forgiving him. No, not today. He's done too much. Where's the limit on forgiveness? Peter said, well, 7 times. God says, no. 70 times 7. When you get done with that, you come back and talk to me. We are to forgive as Christ has forgiven. Growing in my forgiveness for God is growing in my forgiveness for those who have forgiven me. It's not easy to sit across from the desk of a young lady as she explains a situation. And how am I supposed to forgive? And I have to sit there and explain to her that it's not easy. But you need to forgive. You need to let go. Not for that individual's sake, but for your own sake. You need to forgive. Not because that person deserves it from you, but because God has forgiven you, you need to forgive them. Right. And that if you don't forgive, that bitterness is going to build up, that malice. The previous verse, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking, all of that is going to build up in your life if you do not forgive.
That's right.
But once you are able to forgive as God has forgiven, that is growth in grace. I'm not forgiving you because of who I am. I am not forgiving you because of who you are, because I don't even like you. I'm forgiving you because of who God is. God is the one, and he is the reason I am forgiving you. If I am forgiving people because of who he is, they will see Christ in me and be drawn closer to the Savior. In Matthew chapter number 18, very quickly, let's look at this. Matthew chapter number 18, I'm going to use 2 illustrations and then I'll be done. The first illustration is a Bible illustration. The second illustration is a story. How can I grow in grace? By walking and speaking to people as Christ did, by loving others as Christ loved, and by forgiving others as I have been forgiven. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 23. We'll start in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that they had, in payment to be made. An individual owes money. Watch, he pleads for mercy. Therefore the servant falls down and worships him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, he didn't just get an extension on what he owed. The debt was wiped away. Look at then at verse number 27. The Lord of that servant was moved. Verse 28. But the same servant, the one who had just, 10,000 talents? The one who, that debt was completely wiped away. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. A fraction of what he had just been forgiven. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Does it sound familiar? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest it me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? His Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. As a Christian, have you stalled in your Christian life? Is there somebody you're holding a grudge against? That's why you're not growing in grace. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. What have you been forgiven of? Your eternity has been taken care of. Your sins have been washed away. What greater debt can be paid by the Master? Somebody else is not asking that from you. Just something small. Just something small. Forgive. How can I grow in grace? By forgiving. I will close with this illustration. There's a man in Euphrata, Pennsylvania, by the name of Peter Miller. Peter Miller lived in Euphrata, Pennsylvania during the time of the Revolutionary War. He was loved and respected, and he was known as a godly man who was not just godly by his standing as a preacher, but because he loved people. Peter Miller would go as a circuit riding preacher, and he would travel his state, and he would hold tent meetings as often as possible. There was a man who did not hold the same opinion as everybody else. In fact, he deeply hated Peter Miller to the point that everywhere that Peter Miller would go, he would harass him. In fact, it got so bad that during services, this fellow would stand up and start blaspheming and start trying to talk him down and start trying to spread lies and rumors about him while he's preaching. He would publicly criticize and mock him during the services. Miller's friends on occasion would try to get him to do something about it. Well, one day Miller's friend was found guilty of treason, and this enemy of his would be sentenced to hang. Now catch this. Miller sets out on foot to see General George Washington at his headquarters, some 60 miles away. Miller reaches Washington's camp and pleads for a pardon to be granted for this man. Washington's response to Miller was this: your request for your friend cannot be granted. Peter mocked and responded, my friend, he is not my friend. I have no greater enemy living than that man. George Washington humbly replied, what? You have walked 60 miles to save the life of your enemy. In that case, your request will be granted. The pardon was given to Miller, and Washington gave him the name of the town and said, We can't get word there right now. I don't know if you're going to have time to get there. It's today. So Peter Miller sets out on foot again to tell his greatest enemy that he was pardoned. Finally, 15 miles later, he gets to the town in which the execution would be held. When Peter Miller gets to the town, his enemy was being led to the hangman's noose. His enemy spots Miller in the crowd and replies, "Look, there goes old Peter Miller. He has come all this way to have his revenge gratified by seeing me hung." To which Peter Miller loudly replies, as humbly walking to the front, "No, I did not come to see you hang. I came to deliver this pardon from General Washington. Your life has been spared." Growing in grace is taking what you have learned and what you have been given by God and giving it to others who probably don't deserve it. Some may not, but that's not up for you and I to determine. You and I as Christians ought to just give it. You see, Christians get bored and motionless in the Christian life as they grow stale, gathering all that God has done for them. But a Christian who spends his time distributing what God has given him will be a Christian who truly grows in grace. Greatness in heaven will not be measured by how close to my Heavenly Father I am, but by how many I have helped along the way get closer to my Heavenly Father through my life. Look at Christ's life. Why was Christ so great? Because he spent his life pointing others to his Father. Are you focused on growing in grace? Or are you focused on getting more from God? Are you focused on doing for others what God has done for you? Every head bowed and every eye closed, the message was, the truth was simple. I pray that the message was clear. The truth is definitely pointed. Each and every one of us, I'm sure of it, can look at our lives and see an area in which we need to grow. But that growth is not necessarily going to come from more Bible reading, or from more prayer time, or from more church attendance. It may come from finding somebody that I have got a problem with and rectifying that problem. It may come from me helping somebody with something I have received. In just a moment, the piano will begin to play. This altar is not a show. This altar is not a place to come and people aren't watching. Just because you come to this altar doesn't mean you've got some gross sin that you're asking the Lord to forgive. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart, as a Christian, have you grown stale in the Christian life? Are you still growing?